All right. Hey, everyone. What? Wait.
wait. Start again.
Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me. You want me to start again? Hey, everyone? Question mark. Sarah, what's going on over there?
Oh, what was that?
Oh, you can hear me?
I was reading my new Bryan Cranston autobiography.
Dude, what the hell is going on? Is this a cry for help?
CJ, you get me. You get me.
That shit's fire, he said. Bro, what's happening over here? Like, what?
I love Bryan Cranston so much.
I fucking see that. You've made that very clear.
Their Instagram stories are starting to kill me. Oh, just like one God. Per day.
Illy Bryan.
The Illy fact Bryan. That you've been active on Instagram stories because of this man and this man only is becoming a threat to others.
This man is what is making me back on my game on social media, honestly. Like, I feel like I need to post more because of Bryan Cranston. God damn. I'm so happy that I got this. I just discovered that he has his own autobiography. It's called A Life in Parts. And I can't wait to read it. I haven't read it yet.
And this is from Breaking Bad, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
This is his character on Breaking Bad, Walter White.
Oh, he looks
White.
Very different.
Right?
Loving the makeup.
Dude, I don't know if we talked about this last time because we talk about Breaking Bad every episode now because it's just like
this
a part of my
journey.
This is
the Breaking Bad podcast.
It really is. Breaking Basca.
Cheers, Breaking Bad.
Cheers, Breaking Bad.
Oh, God. We're doing a collab.
That rhymed.
What rhymed?
You said Breaking Bad and we need to collab.
Oh,
cheers, Breaking Bad.
I'm rapping
again.
You are me and my flow.
You have a great flow and you already know. So, oh my God, I've been obsessed with Bryan Cranston. Everybody knows it. I talk about it every episode, and I promise my obsession will simmer down as the episodes continue. I promise.
There, it seems to only be getting worse though. So I'm not sure if I believe you. Next week, you're going to come in with him, like, chained on a leash and be like, okay, guys, I actually found Bryan on the way here.
I bring him on a leash?
He's in handcuffs.
Oh, my God.
Duct tape over his mouth. You've got a gun to his head. Say cheers, brother. Take a shot with us.
We put him right here in a chair. He's just like, we're like, so, Bryan, we're so happy.
How was your weekend?
God, dude. I wish.
I don't.
Yeah, I was just creeping on Bryan. I literally went on Amazon, dude. After I bought that plaque.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten it yet, and I'm going to bring that when I get it. But I went on Amazon, and I literally typed in Bryan Cranston merch. Because I just need Bryan Cranston merch. Okay. Not Walter White, the character. I need his merch because I've been watching so many interviews and just I know everything about this man. And he is the funniest. He's a comedian in real life. Oh, I told you that last time.
No, I just knew that.
Oh, you did know that?
Like, I know who he is.
You know who Bryan Cranston is?
Yes.
Malcolm in the Middle, bro.
He's in like so many different things.
He's the dad in Malcolm in the Middle.
I figured
he's in one
that
of my favorite movies ever.
Wait,
I think it's
and
him.
What?
Wait, let me check.
Right? Yeah, wait, I'm like...
He is in Malcolm in the Middle. I figured that out after I finished Breaking Bad, though. And that's what blew my mind because I was watching an interview of his and he was like, yeah, when I was doing Malcolm in the Middle, I was like, wait, what?
He is in one of my favorite movies. Why him?
Why him? He's the dad.
I love that movie so much. So yeah, I fucking know who he is. I just didn't go up his ass when I watch movies or shows with him in it. How I Met Your Mother.
Because you haven't watched Breaking Bad yet.
It's because I haven't watched Breaking Bad yet.
But yeah, I figured out he was in Why Him and Malcolm in the Middle when I watched an interview and I was like, holy fucking shit. He's so versatile. He's like such a comedian. And this is what inspires me. Okay. Relax. I'm talking to myself.
Oh, it's like I'm sitting here just listening, dude.
Okay, Sarah, relax. Don't get too deep in this. But I also saw some comments being like, I love that she feels passionate about something, you know? And I'm trying to relish in that. I was really depressed a few months ago, and now I feel like I have something to live for. Bryan Cranston.
And it's this guy.
It's Bryan Cranston. Okay, give me a second. So he was a comedian. he was only used to doing comedic roles. And then Breaking Bad was the first show that he had to step into a serious role and take himself seriously a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of hard for him, but he was so good at tapping into this evil character, which is Walter White. He's a fucking evil genius. And he's so serious and manipulative and perfect. And it talks about in here, I read the reviews of like the reason how he stepped into this character so easily because he's a comedic legend.
I love going back and forth.
I know, me too.
Like what?
The reason how this sweet, funny, sincere, humble man stepped into this evil character was he had to tap in to parts of his childhood because his childhood was super fucked up.
Ooh.
His parents abandoned him
what?
When he was a child. So he had so much trauma growing up, so much pain, so much confusion. And he used comedy as a defense mechanism. And then he learned to like transform that into acting.
Oh, wow.
And I can't wait to read it because I relate.
Have you even started reading it?
Not yet. I just got it yesterday. I knock your water over. Sorry, I'm like in a manic state right now.
You've only looked at the cover and the back cover and you're just like losing it over this book.
I just need to like throw this out of my vision because I need to like...
Ryan, go away.
Thank you. Thanks, CJ. And CJ, I know he gets me because he watched Breaking Bad. It's a really good show. Can you put your face on the camera and say that? It's a really good show.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ. CJ gets it. Oh. But yeah, I'm excited to start that journey. He just means the world to me. And okay, Caitlin, I'm going to send you a link, okay?
Okay.
He did. Okay.
Whoa.
Not Jimmy Fallon, but Jimmy Kimmel.
Kimmel.
He's like... He's the other one. He's the other Jimmy. I think it's Jimmy Kimmel. He did a segment with Bryan Cranston 5 years ago, and I just watched it now. I also feel like a fucking loser because I'm just on this train now. And he did this segment with Bryan Cranston! And it's called My Super Sweet 60 instead of 16. Did you ever know about that show? My Super Sweet 16 on MTV.
Oh, I've heard of it. I never watched it.
Did you watch it, Jenna?
Yeah, I watched it.
You know, like, the premise?
Yeah. I always wanted one so bad. They were so cool.
Basically, that show was just all about these spoiled brats. Like, every single episode was a spoiled, rich 15-year-old that was having a sweet 16 birthday party, and it was going to be, like, the most extravagant sweet 16 ever, and MTV made, like, a whole show about it. And it's just so cringy and... But also kind of epic because they would like complain. They're like, Mom, I didn't want this Mercedes. I told you. Then they'd like freak out. It was such an iconic show. But they did like a spinoff because Bryan Cranston was turning 60. And so they made like a super sweet 60 for Bryan Cranston. And he played that character as like a spoiled brat.
Oh, God.
And it's the funniest fucking thing I have ever seen, and that's what made me fall in love with Bryan Cranston and get that book, because I'm like, he is just
comedy.
A genius. He's a genius. I'll send you the link.
I will watch that. That does sound like fun.
Let's put the link in the description for you guys, because I need y'all to like understand where I'm coming from.
And pause this, go watch that, and then come right the fuck back.
And Jimmy Kimmel was in it, and he was so funny. But yeah, anyway, love Brian. Illy Brian. We can move
on
now.
Thank you, Brian, for sponsoring this part of Cheers, Brother.
Come on in, Brian.
Don't be shy.
Before we get started,
we got a cheers, brother.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, brother.
That's a giant hydro flask.
Trying to stay hydrated.
I love it. You need some stickers on there.
I actually had stickers on them and I just pulled them all off.
Why?
I felt like it was not me. I also had really ugly stickers on. Like one was like fucking a shoe. The other one said mama. I just found all these random ass stickers that like brands have sent me. And I was like, mama, Air Jordan.
You're a shoe mama.
Yeah, but I don't want it on like my water bottle.
I love that self-reflection. This is not me.
No, literally, I was having an identity crisis looking at the ugly stickers on this. I was like, Sarah has cool stickers on her water bottle. I'm going to put some stickers on this. I end up rethinking my whole life after. I'm like, this is not me.
I love that, though. That's classy and chic. The white is, like, exactly. So clean.
I felt, like, guilty destroying it with a sticker that said mama.
Exactly.
I'm not a mom.
That's okay.
I will be one day, but not right now.
My voice. That's okay.
That's fine. It's okay. Fuck, man.
All right, let's get into it.
Here we go.
What's going on with you?
That just sounded like, oh, you're not reading this book? What the fuck are you doing?
The fuck are you? All right. You obviously don't understand. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I felt good. Thank you for just like listening and letting me have that moment.
No, I'm really loving this. I can't wait for you to come in with the plaque one week. Yeah, like that's what I'm more excited about.
I got a notification yesterday that like the shipping is in progress. It's in progress.
God, I cannot wait for you to have that.
We're going to hang it up right there.
Oh,
can we?
Great, can't wait.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
let's hang it up.
It's going to be like huge.
It's really not that big. It could be like right in the middle.
We just move everything. Yeah, it could be like right there. We'll just shove everything else off.
Take everything off. Even these. Oh, I know the OCD girlies will come for me.
Oh, what do you have to do? Oh.
Oh, wait.
Oh. Okay.
You know what I mean?
There we go. You know what I mean? Now no one can say anything.
Exactly.
I know that, like, my mom is a part of that group. So my mom will
oh,
be
Oh, she
like,
is? Does she text you about it?
I don't
it?
Know if she actually is diagnosed with OCD. Mm-hmm. So, but, like, I know she would be like, Sarah, the background. Distracting. So.
Oh. How was your week?
I'm on a high.
I love that for you. Well, I really want to hear about Joycella before like anything else. Like, I really just want to hear about it because your stories yesterday, like, I know that you're in such a good funk right now. So like, just ride it out. I want to hear about it.
Thank you.
Of course.
I am on the best natural high of my life.
Hell yeah.
Because of what happened this weekend. Like, it, I literally want to cry about it, and I'm not going to.
You can.
Even though I can. But, like, it was.
Sorry, can you get your hair like
that? Oh, please help me out.
It's just, like, the biggest, like, fold ever.
It's the biggest fucking mess.
It's the biggest fucking rat's nest. It's the
biggest fucking mess I've ever seen.
Can you please keep that in?
Is the sun out? Everyone gasps.
Me talking about Bryan Cranston.
Just out after this horrible ass day.
Thank you, Bryan. Illy Bryan. We love you, Bryan. Insert a picture of Bryan. The hair on my. Okay. Yeah, I'm like in a fucking crazy, jolly, content, peaceful state of mind because for the first time in probably ever, I feel like I made like a huge impact on a lot of people and I got to see it firsthand. Mm-hmm. Like I got to see it with my eyes. And I just, this is like the feeling that I've always wanted to feel when I started making YouTube videos, but mm-hmm. It's really hard when you're making YouTube videos because you see the comments.
Yeah.
You see like the words, but you don't really see each person.
Everything's just reading and there's only so reading. Much reading you can do before it's just like there's a wall. Like you have to experience the people that watch your stuff in person or even through a Zoom or something to just fully get it.
Yeah. And like even like meeting people in real life, like the people that support you and stuff. Usually it's like a few people at a time and it's like really short experiences. Like, oh my God, I love your stuff. Let's take a picture. Or you know what I mean? Like really small encounters. But this was the first time where I got to be with the people that have been supporting me for years in a really intimate space for 2 days. For like, it went from like 9 to 6 p.m. It was all fucking day each day.
That's crazy.
And it was like really intense spiritual work. And really intense, like, interactive work. So they would have to actually participate. And there were so many emotions and so many things. So I'll kind of share the highlights of it for me. So I was really fucking nervous to start this. Mm-hmm. I was nervous all week before. I didn't want another TanaCon 2.0.
Yeah, like we don't need that.
I didn't want people to get mad and want a refund. I didn't want any of that to happen. So I was really nervous about that. And even Jenna, she was working with me too, and Joy and our team that put it together. And Jenna was kind of like the logical side of it, being like, okay, we need to make sure that this is okay and this is working out. And Jenna was probably also kind of like, this needs to go well because we don't want to have to go through something like that. And Joy just kept reassuring me every single day, like, Sarah, it's going to be amazing. There's no stress. We have an amazing team. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And also I was so nervous because on Sunday, the second day, last night, I was performing.
Yeah.
And I was performing an original song that I wrote, and I had someone really dear to me produce, and it's coming out soon. And it's like me kind of stepping actually into music and holding myself accountable by showing everyone what it is. So I'm kind of like forced to put it out. Mm-hmm. And I was just really fucking nervous to perform, because I've been addicted to nicotine, I've been smoking, and so my lungs aren't at full capacity. And so I've been having trouble kind of breathing with my diaphragm and just getting those full breaths when I'm singing. So I was really nervous about singing live in front of people. Mm-hmm. And I was just like a ball of anxiety. And the first day, which was on Saturday, it started at 9 a.m. I had to wake up at 6:30.
What the fuck?
I only had 2 hours of sleep because when I get anxious before something big, I just can't sleep. And so I got 2 hours of sleep, but I was like, I'm really excited. This is going to be awesome. And immediately it was going so great. We had a DJ. Her name was DJ Flossie, bitch.
She rocked. So good.
She rocked. So DJ Flossie was a part of Joy's program, and she was in my class, so I know her really well. And she was a dentist who became a DJ after taking Joy's classes, because she was like, being a dentist does not fulfill me whatsoever.
I did not know that's CJ. Why that's... That
wait,
was
what?
Where, he was just like, that's why he's called Flossie.
Yes! Yes, that's exactly why her name is DJ
Flossie.
I didn't know
that. That's so funny.
Because she was a dentist.
Okay, DJ Flossie.
Exactly. Thanks for catching that. She literally became a DJ because she's like, I don't want to be a dentist. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And so she was DJing that entire retreat. Every single time we would go on a break, she would be DJing, and it would come through the interface, so it felt like the actual song was playing on everyone's speakers. Uh-huh. Instead of it sounding just like it was a recording. Does that make sense? It was coming through their speaker. I don't know how she did that, but it was so good. She played the littest song ever. She did research on my Spotify.
Oh.
And she knew the type of shit that my viewers liked. She played a lot of Harry, but then she would do remixes on it. Ooh. Lots of 1D remixes. She would do oh my God, it was so good. And DJ Flossie just came through with the jams. If DJ Flossie was not there, it would have been so different.
When everyone, because there was the VIP people ate lunch with Sarah, and then I was still in the main Zoom, and she was performing, and everyone was like, well, we're VIP for DJ Flossie, let's go! And I was like, oh my God, I loved it. She was great. Aww.
She was great. It was awesome. It first started out, I got onto the Zoom call, and DJ Flossie was just there in the waiting room, and everyone was joining, and I was like, yes, this is going to be great. And then immediately, right when it started, Joy just kind of introduced what this was going to be. And then right after that, she was like, our first guest speaker is Alex Salibian, who was the producer for Harry's album. And Alex came on, and the girlies were thriving because he had a PowerPoint. And he went through his entire journey and entire process of being super insecure about production and not really knowing what to do with his life, to then ending up working with Harry Styles.
That's just crazy.
Out of like manifesting that for himself and like taking action. And like also the pressures that went into working with someone like Harry. Mm-hmm. And because Harry's a fucking huge pop star. Like yeah. he's huge. And just the pressure of making sure it was perfect. And just all of that. And he added pictures of him and Harry together. And the girlies were just living. I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. And, like, why he made that decision for himself to step away from that process of working with Harry, even though, like, to all of the outsiders, it's like, oh, my God, Alex, you made it. Like, you made it. There's nothing to complain about ever again. You're working with Harry Styles. You're touring with him. Like, how could you not be happy? But he was actually, like, really not fulfilled because that's not something that he thought was his purpose. Uh-huh. And so he made the decision to step away from working with Harry, which was the hardest thing of his life. And he actually started his own record label for women in different countries who don't have the opportunities to like make music and get big because of like whatever. Like, what did he say? It was like,
I need to like look up the actual, because when I looked up his Instagram, the bio of the Instagram like explained it really well.
It was something about how like, because women often get taken advantage of in the music industry. Mm-hmm. A lot of the men in power, like the producers and record label people, take advantage of these women and tell them that they need to offer them like sexual things in return so that they can blow the woman artists up. And so Alex, since Alex was in that and he saw it firsthand just by working with Harry and like being in this huge arena of musicians, he like saw it. So he created his own record label for women in particular so that they can have like a safe space to get the promotion that they deserve, mm-hmm. get like everything that they need to become big artists and blow up. And without any of the weird thing, it's like expectations.
Like, if you know what, like a like talent incubator is, it's usually like where people sign people until they can be signed to bigger record labels or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, the way that it's described, well, what I was talking about is a female and non-binary focused talent incubator and record label that super serves musicians from emerging markets like the Middle East, North and East Africa, and Eastern
mm-hmm.
Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Like hearing him talk about it, that's why I was like, I need to just read it because he was so well spoken and like, oh, he was so cool. I was like, I would love to have him on this podcast.
have a wine night
with him.
Yes. She texted me while he was talking and she was like, we need to have a wine night with
him.
He's
so cool.
Oh my God.
So cool. He's just like the chillest guy ever and just so smart and just he. Is just such like a feminist, like just wants women to be protected and non-binary. Awesome.
No wonder Harry wanted him around.
Exactly. And like Harry literally asked him, he said this, he was like, Harry asked me to be the tour, not tour manager, but like the tour person in charge of like the music, like the live music.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what the word is, but that's something that Alex has never done before. And he was like, sorry, Harry, I'm not gonna do that. I don't know what I'm doing. Then he went home to his girlfriend or wife. I don't know. But and then she was like, you're crazy if you don't do that.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know if I want to tour. Like, I don't know if I want to like be on stage. And she's like, you'd be fucking insane. Like Harry specifically asked him to be in charge of all of that because he's just so great.
That's crazy.
And just Harry just wanted to like be around him. And yeah, it was honestly so inspiring to hear him talk about that. I don't know. It was such like a great way to start it off.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm pretty sure like Alex is the one that set the tone for the rest of the weekend. Cause I feel like people just felt really safe hearing what he had to say and really motivated. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, the first day it was basically just a lot of Joy's teachings. She had PowerPoints and she just kind of explained a lot of life-changing belief systems that we have to believe mm-hmm. in ourselves in order to like live our best lives and in order to like feel confident in ourselves. and just like a lot about anxiety, social anxiety when you're around people and performing and sharing your art and sharing your music. And just, it was really cool. And we did this little workshop, and this was so cool. It was people volunteered, and she was like, who wants to volunteer for this thing? And like a few people raised their hands, and there was like, I want to say 3 or 4 people. And she was like, okay, I want you to sing a song. Do you have a song prepared? And everyone came with something prepared. So they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm going to sing this song. And then they would sing it. And then afterwards, Joy would ask them a few questions of like, okay, what are you singing this about? Like, who are you singing this to? What does this song mean to you? And what are you trying to tell this person? And they would be like, well, this is about my mom, I guess. And they're like, and she was like, yeah, so you picked this song for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, now imagine like your mom, like I'm your mom. And you want to have this conversation with your mom. Pretend like I'm your mom. And I want you to like speak the lyrics out loud. Don't sing it. Just speak them. And they're like, okay. Lots of emotions came up. Crying. Oh. Like it was insane. Because when you have to like actually sit there and speak the words.
Do you remember what song this was about?
I don't remember what song it was. But I just remember this one girl in particular. Her name was Bianca. She was so cool. She was the first girl that did it.
I think, which one did I texted you about one of them?
Oh, that was the next day. Wasn't that the second day? Or was it
No, I think it was
day?
The first day. Oh, I wish I could remember her name. She sang like an original song. And she was like really like sexy.
Oh my Love God, that. From the UK.
Yes, and she was Dude. British. She was so oh, cool.
Oh my God. She was so good. She was so good. But we'll get to her. But the first girl, she was talking about her mom. And like when she spoke the words,
mm-hmm.
so many emotions. She was crying. But like Joy is such a comforting presence. And she and everyone was so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was just like giving her love and light. And she spoke the words. It was really hard for her, but it was such a breakthrough.
Wow.
And then Joy was like, okay. So I want you to sing that again. And now that you like feel that intention of that this is a conversation between you and your mom, I want you to sing it now and just feel everything and try to accomplish what you want to say to your mom. And so she sang it again. And it was like fucking night and day.
Really?
Like the first time she sang it, she was very uncomfortable, like anxious because she was like singing a song in front of all these people and she was like kind of in her own head and being like, am I hitting the notes right? Like mm-hmm. what the fuck? So it didn't translate.
Yeah.
Like you didn't really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second time she sang it, she was focused. She was having the conversation with her mom and not thinking about all of us watching her.
Wow.
And it made me choke up. It was so emotional because you can tell that like people practicing that method when you're performing. And if you want to be a musician, like that's what's really going to touch people in the crowd is like if the crowd can feel that you're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. And that was the first girl that stepped up to do it. So she was so brave.
That's
I was like,
crazy.
Bitch. She was so cool too. Like during the breaks when DJ Flossie would be DJing, you would look over at Bianca and she would just be in the background, just like she was like
Fuck
in her
yeah.
kitchen. She was just in her kitchen, just like in her own world. She was like, yes.
That's so awesome.
I was like, I love this bitch. I'm pretty sure her name was Bianca. I'm pretty sure. And then there was this other girl from the UK. I forget. Oh, it was what was her artist name? It was something so funny, not funny, but like,
yeah,
so out there. I don't remember right now, but I'll post. We can like put
yeah,
it up here.
We'll have to.
But she, oh my God, dude, she wrote this song and she was really nervous to perform it because I don't think that she's performed before in front of people.
Oh shit.
And she had like the mood lighting in the background in her room. She had like the purple aesthetic and it was like dark and it Ooh. Was just really vibey in her room. And she had like the cutest UK accent and she performed the song, and it was a hit. It was a number one hit.
Hell yeah.
It was a hit. I could hear that shit on the radio. Like, it was so good. But while she was performing it, her eyes were closed the whole time. Mm. Like, she didn't want to, like, look at us. Uh-huh. She just wanted to be in her own world. And she still did amazing. But then Joy was like, okay.
Do it again.
She, like, was running the process of, okay, speak the lyrics, all that shit. And then the second time she did it, I saw a fucking star in front of me. I was like, this bitch.
It like gave me the chills. I was like emotional. Like, I don't know. I was just like watching for fun. Like, I didn't even have to do anything. I was just like watching and being like, this is incredible. I can't look away. Like, why are they so cool and
they
good?
They were so good and amazing. Yeah. And
talented, smart. Like, the way they spoke, even like, they're so cool.
And just creative and talented and. We, like, since they all watch my videos, we all kind of are on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. So everyone got along with each other. Everyone had, like, similar personalities and humor. It was just, like, the most incredible thing ever. And when that girl from England did that song and she was finished with it, we were all, like, I went on a gallery view so I could see everyone. There was, like, 7 pages of people.
Shit, I was gonna ask, like, did you guys cap it at a certain number or something? Like, was there just hundreds of people?
We capped it at 200. Wow. So there were 200 people there. And I would always go on gallery view and just go through the pages of people and seeing everyone. And everyone was just in the same world. No one was on their phones.
Damn.
No one was on their phones. No one was looking away. No one had their screens off. Like, everyone was in it. And it was like this crazy synergy where we were all on the same wave and just so supportive. And like, a lot of the people who performed and did those exercises would cry afterwards and have these breakthroughs of being like, wow, I finally like feel like I have the confidence to perform and be authentic, because now I know that when you're performing, it's just about having a conversation instead of being like, I'm on stage and I have to like entertain people. It's like, that's not what it's about. It's about like actually feeling the words that you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool. That got me so emotional. The first day was absolutely amazing. And then Lisa Brewer was the best. She is a healer. She leads meditation. And she was like leading meditation throughout the weekend. And she is just like the auntie that we all wish that we had. Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. She is just like the most calming woman. She's like, I want to say like in her 50s or 60s. Like, she's just like that motherly energy. And she would just come in and be like, all right, y'all, I can see the emotions are running high. Let's all just take a deep breath.
Aww.
And like everyone would be crying and they'd be like, yeah. Like, she would just kind of like chime in and be like, okay, guys, let's breathe a little bit. This is a lot. This is really heavy stuff. And it was just like perfect. I fucking love Lisa. But yeah, that was day one. And I just remember, after the day was over, I was like, holy fuck, like, we're changing a lot of people's lives on a big scale.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it firsthand. And I've never got to see this before. And the fact that these are the people that watch my videos and like feel this connection to me was so cool, because I could tell that this meant so much to them because I was there also. Mm-hmm. It was just, hang on, let me take a sip of water.
No, that's like seriously so fucking cool, because obviously they've changed your life to an extent, and they get to watch that all happen on YouTube, like even from moving and everything, just growing up. But then like when you get everyone together and then literally watch all of their lives get changed over the course of a few hours, like because of you, that's fucking so cool.
Oh my, it was
like so special.
Yeah, it was. I actually felt for the first time, like I said at the beginning, like I'm doing something beneficial for other people that I can see.
Yeah.
And I can actually like
actual
feel
influencing.
It.
Yeah. I guess.
Literally the definition of being an influencer. But yeah. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, being more literal.
You are now an influencer.
I genuinely feel like an influencer.
You are now an influencer.
You are now an influencer. Yeah, it was awesome. And then I just remember, like, after that first day, Joyce sent me a bunch of screenshots of DMs that she got from the people there. And they were just like, this is changing my life. Like, this was the best day ever. Like, all this shit. And I was like, oh my God, this is cool. Mm-hmm. But I was still really nervous about the next day because I had to perform.
Yeah.
Even though I just spent all day learning how to undo those things in my head, I was still like, oh my God, I'm so nervous, even though I like shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so fucking nervous. And then the second day happened, and there was this energy healer. I forgot his name, figured out and put it, but he, oh my God, he just looked like a typical dad.
Oh.
Just like a typical dad.
Just like Brian.
Yes, literally.
Your average Brian in the chat.
He did. Like, he looked he like did. Brian. That's a great way to describe him.
It was like that energy. Like, you would not expect him to be this, like, you know, yeah. healer. He just came on. He had like glasses on. He had like a collared checkered shirt on. Oh. And he was just like, and Joy, when Joy introduced him, she was like, okay, this guy literally is about to change your guys' life. Like, I can't wait for him to come on here. And so then he comes on.
Is it Michael?
Michael.
Michael Klein?
Michael. Michael comes on and he's like, hey guys. He like made a few jokes. And we're like,
dad
aw.
Jokes.
Yeah,
here they are.
Exactly. He told everyone to close their eyes and he took us through this insane meditative journey. Like, he's like, okay, now imagine this, and everyone's eyes are closed, and then imagine this. And he's like, what feelings are coming up in your body right now? Do you feel anxiety anywhere? Like, tap into what parts you're feeling anxiety and all of this stuff. And we were like really in tune with our bodies and shit, led us through this whole meditation process. And then when he told us to open our eyes, I put it on gallery view and people were sobbing.
Oh my God.
Like, uncontrollably sobbing. And because, like, that whole thing, when he was taking us on that journey, it was like 15 to 20 minutes long.
Oh shit.
And so a lot of people were sobbing. And then this one girl just needed to, she was like about to like not have a panic attack, but she was like really overwhelmed.
Worked
and
up, yeah.
So she like, inserted herself, like unmuted herself. She's like, I'm sorry guys, like I need to talk to Michael, like I don't know what's going on with me. And Michael's like, okay, let's talk through this. And everyone together was just witnessing this, and she started like telling him about the trauma that she experienced and like how she felt the trauma in her body come through. And he like was asking her questions and telling her to like explain certain sensations that she was feeling, and she would explain it and cry it out. And it was, and you could literally feel the healing energy happening because you could tell that these emotions were so deep and subconscious that she's been suppressing them for so long. And that's what's been like making her depressed and anxious for all of these years, and they were finally starting to come through, and we were all witnessing that. And that's when Jenna texted me and all she said was, holy fuck.
Wow.
Like, it was insane. Like, I have chills like listening to you just talk about it again. Like, she, because I came in, like, I was just popping in and out of it, like I wasn't like experiencing it, I was just, you know, making sure everything was okay. But I joined that while everyone's eyes were closed, and I doing the same thing, you know, just like kind of going through gallery view being like, oh, everyone's participating. And I saw her sobbing already, like, while, and I saw her like just being really uncomfortable and like trying to do the meditation, but just opening her eyes and sobbing. And I was like, ah, like I need to do something to help this girl. But like, I just waited, and then that all happened. And yeah, I was just like, so like captivated by that experience and how like everyone was so supportive of her, like in the chat on the side, and just it was just so cool. And that's all I said was like, holy fuck. I was like, that was, there were no other words literally to describe that.
I was crying too. I was like, I started sobbing at this girl, just like, you could feel it
She was being so vulnerable.
She was
too.
Being
like to think of
so
hard being too. In front of 200 basically like strangers. Obviously, you've spent 2 days together virtually, but to share those kind of things, and I was just like, wow, this is incredible. Like, there's.
I was
no other words
sobbing because a lot of what she was talking about resonated with me, mm-hmm. like things that I haven't dealt with yet. And I started getting choked up because I was like, the fact that this girl is even talking about this stuff in mm-hmm. front of all of us. And Michael had this like insanely calm energy and really worked through it with her and knew exactly what to say. It was just phenomenal. And I just kept looking over at Joy's screen. It was so cute. Joy was just sitting there and she was just like,
oh, yeah. She's so cute. Because
she knew.
Because yeah. she was like, yeah, this is how this works.
Yeah. She's like, she told us, she was like, Michael's about to change your guys' lives.
Well, isn't it interesting? Like you said, he knew exactly what to say. And it's like, obviously what she's talking about is so personal to her experience. So it just makes you wonder like how much of what we're dealing with that we feel like no one would understand how I feel. And she just like is like, I'm so sorry, I need to talk about it. And it's like, oh wait, here's a person who actually does know exactly how you yes. feel and how to help. Like,
yeah,
exactly. It's just crazy. He knew exactly when she would say something and be like, sorry, I don't know if like that makes sense. He'd be like, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And he would kind of explain some things and she'd be like, yes, yes. And we were all witnessing that and we were like, oh my God. And by the time that Michael and her were done talking, she said that she felt lighter. She was like smiling again. She felt calm. And it literally, I just felt like I just witnessed someone's
like
spiritual
rebirth.
Awakening, yeah. Like rebirth. It was just, it was so intense, but so beautiful. And that was pretty much just happening all weekend. And then finally, Joy taught some more and had some more teachings and stuff. And then we did this raffle so people could sign up if they wanted to perform. Mm-hmm. And so we would have 10 performers perform a song or a poem or whatever. And then we had a few guest people performing and then Joy would perform and then I would perform at the very end.
Wait, Joy performs?
Yeah, she's,
like she sings?
Oh my God.
I'm so sad. I missed all the performances.
Wait, that's so cool.
Her voice is unbelievable.
Wow, she can do it all. Huh?
She, oh my God. She, it's just so, it's like the most powerful voice with intention uh-huh. and emotion. And she can hit every little riff, every little note.
Wow.
It is just, and she feels it all so much. So the whole audience is just kind of like, oh my God.
Shit, Joy.
Holy shit. Like she's moving. And she has a daughter who performed. And her daughter's, I think her daughter's a year older than me. Her daughter is so fucking cool. I want to be her best friend. And she performed, I think it was an Adele song. And it was just.
Oh, shit.
And she performed a Jessie J song, oh. which is so hard to do. And she just.
Sham.
That
must
family.
Be fucking nice.
right? And when I saw them perform, I was like, fuck. Because I was performing at the end. So
oh.
I was like. I got so because I can't do that.
You're like,
shit.
So I'm not Adele yeah, or Jessie J, yeah, exactly. but
I can try my best. So
give me a chance.
yeah.
All right, guys, it is time for a little commercial break to thank one of our sponsors for today's episode, which is Honey.
Honey.
Oh, we love Honey.
We love Honey.
Guys, we all shop online and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. Mm-hmm. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery.
Wow, Caitlin. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites, okay? Right. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons.
Ooh.
You wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop right in front of your eyes.
As I do, because I actually use honey so much.
As
that...
I do.
No, but seriously, I use honey so much that yesterday I realized that I had all these like points racked up on honey that I could turn the points into gift cards.
Oh.
Yeah, and I redeemed a $15 gift card to DoorDash and then a $15 gift card to Uber.
What?
All just because I am using honey to find coupons when I'm shopping online. Like, I genuinely don't understand why I've been rewarded so much, but I have been, and I fucking love it.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't know, so that's why I'm like, guys, you can literally get coupons. Like, fucking install honey.
I probably have so many points, and I just don't know.
You need to go check.
I'll go check when I get home.
Dude, they have
We're
good
being
cards
serious,
for everything.
By the way. Like, wow.
Like, I have a free Uber this week now, like, just because
yes.
I have honey.
Amazing.
Love that for me.
If you don't already have honey,
which I don't know why
you could be straight up missing out on free savings. Exactly what Caitlin just said here. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something that I didn't use. Mm-hmm. We both use it every single day.
I'm obsessed.
Get honey for free at joinhoney.com/cheersbro. That's joinhoney.com/cheersbro. We love you, honey.
Honey, God.
Oh, honey.
You keep me young.
You keep me young, honey.
All right. Next, we are going to talk about HelloFresh.
Hello, fresh.
So fresh.
You are so fresh.
Thank you. Guys, with HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it is America's number one meal kit.
HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. Mm. Crazy.
Insane.
HelloFresh offers 27 plus recipes to choose from each week, from vegetarian meals and calorie smart choices to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to easily customize your order on the app within minutes. Easily change your delivery day, food preferences, plan size, or skip a week whenever you need.
Sarah, as much as I love doing the podcast with you, I'm actually very excited to get home because one of my roommates is defrosting chicken from a HelloFresh meal.
Really?
As we speak, yes, I am addicted to their chicken. Every week I go on and make sure that they have some type of chicken meal because their chicken is so good. Dude, I'm literally obsessed. It's kind of embarrassing.
What like, kind of
like, it's just regular white chicken.
Like,
but
grilled or...
Yeah.
I would assume.
Like, I don't know. It's just like white chicken that I put in the oven. But all their sides and everything are so good. And I'm like really hungry and I can't wait to get home and have HelloFresh.
The passion that just exuded out of your body.
I'm like, I've been waiting to tell everyone I'm having chicken for dinner.
Sarah, I'll tell you what. My roommate is defrosting a chicken right now.
And I can't wait to get home to it and put that baby in the oven. But like, dead-ass.
That's so beautiful, dude. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. I'll send you a picture of my chicken.
You're going to upload it right here, baby.
Yeah, here is a nice-ass picture of my HelloFresh chicken.
I need you holding the chicken.
Okay, fuck it. I'll hold the chicken.
So good.
So, if you guys want to have delicious chicken like I'm having tonight.
Or anything else.
Yeah, they have, once again, 27 plus other things that you can eat. Oh my God, I need to pull it together. Just
not just chicken.
You can go to HelloFresh.com/CheersBro and use code CheersBro12 for 12 free meals, potentially free chicken, and also free shipping. Once again, that is HelloFresh.com/CheersBro12 and you can use code CheersBro12 for 12 free meals.
Woo!
Because HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Caitlin.
You know what I want to talk about right now?
What do you want to talk about right now?
Athena Club.
Wow,
obviously.
Me too.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, I have been off of my shaving game for the entire winter, but since the warmer weather in the summer is right around the corner, it's basically here,
I am very ecstatic to get back into my regular routine because, God, I need a routine. But I'm getting one again.
I need some structure in my life.
I mean, we all know that first shave after letting your hair grow for a while is just so satisfying. No, but seriously, now that it's warmer out, I am shaving 2 to 3 times a week mm-hmm. when needed. And it is very important to me that I have a razor that makes shaving feel uncomplicated and gentle on my skin because we know that I can make things we know that I can make things complicated for no reason.
You're gonna say uncomfortable. I
was like, okay. I make things really uncomfortable. No,
but complicated. Yes.
but yeah, I just want to be leaving my skin feeling moisturized, super smooth, and bump free. Mm-hmm. And the Athena Club razor is the best razor I have used so far to help me accomplish that mission.
Athena Club's razor has thousands of 5-star reviews and is designed with built-in skin guards and an innovative handle to help prevent razor burn while being gentle on curves. Yes.
Yes.
Plus, the razor blade is surrounded by a water-activated serum with shea butter and
hyaluronic
acid. Thank you. Yes. Which is a holy grail for skincare. Just couldn't pronounce that for some reason.
That's okay.
But the best part.
Okay.
The best part. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Is the razor kit. It's only $9 and comes with your choice of handle color, an extra blade head,
wow,
and a magnetic hook for easy shower storage.
No way.
Yes, dude.
Yes, guys, the rumors are true. Athena Club also has the dreamiest shave foam that's back in stock. Mm-hmm. Thank God. And together, the Athena Club razor and shave foam will leave your skin soft, hydrated, and smooth. Their shave foam is actually so good. I have been using it a lot lately, and my legs have just been feeling so much better because for some reason, I went so long without using shave cream because I was like, I don't need it. But the difference it makes when you have a good shave foam cream, whatever it may be, you know, it's night and day. My legs are just on top of the world now.
I love sitting in the bath after I shaved and admiring my new legs. And that rhymes. And I'm going to make a song about it. Seriously.
Oh, cool.
It's just so smooth. Smells great.
Wait, what color razor do you have? Do we have the same one?
I have the pink one.
Me too.
Let's go.
Leg besties. Shaving besties. You guys can show your skin that you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use promo code CHEERSBRO. That's athenaclub.com with promo code CHEERSBRO for 20% off.
But yeah, so we did this raffle and we picked 10 people to perform. Mm-hmm. And everyone performed a song. The first girl that got picked to perform was so fucking nervous. She was like, I was not expecting to be picked. And she was like, I've never performed in front of anybody before, so I'm freaking out. And she performed and it was great. And everyone was giving her so much support. And she was like, oh my God, guys, like, I really appreciate that. This is giving me the confidence to keep singing and performing. And we're like, yes. And then there was this one girl, her name was Alana, and she came on and she was so funny at first. She was like, hey y'all, and I was like, you're so cute. And then she was like, is it okay if I whip out my guitar? And we were like, yes.
Please.
And she started playing one of my favorite songs of all time that it's like, it's kind of underground.
Oh. No, I'm kidding.
But like, it's a song that I don't expect like a lot of people to know about. Mm-hmm. And she sang it and the lyrics are so relevant to me right now of like what I'm going through with my breakup and shit. And once she started playing the guitar, I was like, she's not playing this Angel Olsen song right now.
Oh.
It's called Unfuck with the World or Unfuck the World. It's
you don't
Unfuck
even know your
world.
Own favorite song.
No, it's Unfuck the World. And it was, she just sang it. So it's one of those like emo songs that you listen to at night when you want to cry. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those. So she like really brought that. And I started sobbing.
Oh,
I literally
God.
Started sobbing uncontrollably.
Oh.
And because this girl is just someone who like supports me and loves me. And also we have like a lot of the same interests and like never did I think that
she would just someone would play one of those songs. Yeah.
Would play this song. And I was like, what the fuck? So I started sobbing and she did it so beautifully. And like everyone was so encouraging and it was great. It was so beautiful. And then, okay, one more thing and I'll shut up. This guy, did you see? Oh, you didn't see the performances, dude. This guy got picked. His name was Chase. And he was like really funny throughout the weekend. He was just like really cute and funny. And we were like, what are you performing, Chase? And he was like, I'm really nervous, but I am dedicating this song to Sarah. And
oh,
I was
God.
Like, what?
Okay, Chase.
And Chase was so adorable. And he was like, this is Boyfriend by Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, stop. Stop. And everyone was like, oh, okay. And I was like getting hot. And I was like starting to blush. I was like, what the fuck? And he put on these swaggy sunglasses.
Oh, God.
And he stood there and performed If I Was Your Boyfriend. He was doing like funny little like JB moves, like trying to impersonate that swag. And he was like looking at me and he was like, I could be a gentleman. And he hit the notes.
Damn.
Like he was really good. And I was like, oh my God. And everyone in the chat was so funny. They were like, we are Chase stans. Like I'm starting a fan page. Like what the fuck? It was so cute and so good. And I just remember after that, I was like, Chase, I think you're like maybe 18.
No, or like, is he really? You're like, I'll wait
young.
For you.
I don't
come on, Chase.
I don't actually know how old he was, but I was just
he
like,
was
you're
younger.
So
yeah.
Sweet. Like, thank you. That was an amazing JB choice. And then I was like, you better make a YouTube cover of you singing the Journals album. And he was like, that's my favorite fucking album. He was like, it's so underrated. I was like, yes, dude. It was so precious. And then, yeah, then Joy's daughter sang. And then this other woman performed this poem who's like a friend of Joy's who was so good. And then Joy was like, okay, one of the main acts is this girl that I've been working with. I'm her godmother. And she is the next Beyonce. She's the next Whitney Houston. I'm calling it right now. And her family's so supportive. And she, like, popped up on the screen. And it was, like, this six or seven-year-old girl. And she was just, like, sitting there just like ready, and she had this backdrop, like this green screen of it was just like her on a stage, you know.
Oh
how
God.
Zoom does that. And then she was like, hey y'all, and she was like so cute and just
what?
Ready to go. And then Joy was like, is your family there? And she was like, yeah, they're here. And then Joy's like, bring them on. And her two dads came on, and they were just this beautiful family unit, and her dads are so supportive of her. And they were like, yeah, when she was 4 years old, she just randomly sang a Beyonce song in front of our family, and our family just knew right then, and like everyone pulled us to the side and said, you need to get her ready because she's about to become a star.
Wow.
Like, she is the next Whitney Houston. I'm not kidding. And the dads were like, oh my God, okay. So they've been setting her up with Joy. So Joy's been really like helping her. And Joy's whole thing is about being confident in yourself on stage. And the fact that this little girl, Olivia, has all of the confidence already by working with Joy at 6 years old. Like, she's going
imagine.
To be unstoppable. And she started singing. She sang a Beyonce song at 6 or 7 and was just one of the best voices I've ever heard. Honestly, in my
wow.
life, it reminded me of a young Beyonce or a young Whitney Houston.
And just seeing old footage of them like, yes. as a child and everyone being like, oh, they're going to be famous. But like they actually do become mm-hmm. a fucking legend.
That's what I was witnessing in
wow.
front of my eyes. Like, I feel like I'm going to be old one day and just see Olivia.
And be like, she came
star.
Into my Zoom.
She like. Came into my Zoom and popped off on a Beyonce song.
It's like those memes where it's like, all right, go to bed, grandma.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I could not believe my eyes. And I went to gallery view and I looked at everyone else and they were like,
huh?
And there were so many like people in the gallery view and they're like, oh, and they're like singing with her and they're like,
wait, which song did she do?
I can't remember. I
damn
don't.
It, dude.
I don't know mm-hmm. all of the Beyonce songs. I'm sorry. I don't know like her whole discography.
Fucking hell.
But it mm-hmm. was It was a Beyonce song that was emotional, and it had all of the, oh, I wish I knew. I'm sorry.
It's probably like Halo.
It was not Halo.
You're like, what's that one song?
I'll ask Joy, and we can, like, put the title right here. Yeah, just I would so love y'all to know. But it was so cute seeing everyone on mute, being like, oh. And they're like. It was so cute. And then I saw this one girl, like, starting to tear up. At Olivia, and I was like, oh my God, Olivia's impact. And Olivia,
go off, Olivia.
Olivia, while she was singing it, was like, wow. Did not seem nervous at all. She was like dancing around. I was like, what the fuck? This confidence is crazy. And then Joy performed, but I couldn't actually watch it because I was like setting up my shit while she was performing. And I was like, okay. And Joy's just, I can like hear her through my headphones. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm following up with. So I was like, no pressure. So I like made this little backdrop for myself. I like put a little tapestry up. I like put these two fake trees and I put like a little salt lamp and I was like just setting the vibe. And then I performed three songs, and my friend Jackson came over the night before to like help me with my audio setup because I'm super weird about audio. Like I need to make sure the audio is perfect. Mm-hmm. So nothing, you know, like peaks or like nothing distorts or anything if I hit a high note. And Jackson made it perfect. He added some reverb on there. So it like sounded spacey and angelic, you know. Ooh. And so and then he also did this feature where the instrumental goes through the speakers. So it's not just like coming out of my speakers and they can hear it through my shit. It was coming through theirs, too. So it was all perfect. And I sang a Kehlani song. And I just remember while I was singing it, I was trying so hard not to black out from nerves.
Yeah.
Because I just went through this entire workshop about how to not do that.
And you're so like, here I go anyways.
Yeah. And like something that I kept having to remind myself is when I would start to get nervous, I would picture the person who I'm singing about in my head. And then once I would kind of do that, it was easier.
I thought you were going to say picture everyone naked. I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Everyone naked on Zoom.
Everyone take your clothes off.
Everyone take your singing. Take your tops off. No, but like I would just have to like picture who I'm speaking about. And then I would get into it again. But then because I kept having these thoughts coming in my head where it's like, oh, my God, I didn't hit that note the way I wanted to. Or I went kind of flat there. But then I'm like, nope, shut up. Mm-hmm. Who are you talking about? You know?
Not like, me, babe. Yeah,
exactly. So that happened. And then after that Kehlani song, everyone was like, yes, queen. I was like, cool. And then I was like, okay, this next one is an original. And I'm really nervous about this. And everyone's like, oh, my God, it's happening. And I'm like, fuck. And then I performed it. And I really just try to feel it. And I feel like I felt this one a lot more than the Kehlani one because these were my words. Mm-hmm. This was my song. This was my fucking shit. And so I was feeling it a lot more. I was hitting the notes. I was like doing really well. And then at the last chorus, I realized, oh my God, I'm hella dehydrated.
Oh no.
And I started to get really bad cotton mouth on that last chorus. Like my mouth was starting to dry up and I had a high note coming and I'm like, fuck. Oh. But I try to like stay in the zone. I'm like, my mouth is getting so dry. Oh my God. But I was still doing it. I hit the high note. It took everything in me to hit it, but I hit it.
Hell yeah.
And then there's like this outro where I'd like sing this really soft outro to close the song. And my throat was literally closing up from being so dry. And I barely got that last word out. And then everyone was like, oh my God. And I was like, water. Oh my God. I ran. I got water. And I was like, sorry, y'all. Like, I was freaking out there. And everyone was so encouraging. They said that song reminded them of Mac Miller. They're like, Mac Miller would have been proud. Like, they said that, like, it deserved to, like, be a part of Divine Feminine. And I was like, oh, bye. That's special. That's the nicest thing I've ever heard. And they're like, Mac Miller would have loved that shit. They're like, I feel like you're going to carry his legacy. I was like, what? Oh,
whoa.
I was like, all right, relax. Yeah. I was like, fucking you. Relax. I was like, that's really nice. But holy shit. But that's what a lot of them were saying. And I was like, oh, I didn't even like think about how much Mac influenced my
life. Yeah.
Like my musical
debut. Journey.
Yeah, I guess. And I was like, holy shit, that's really cool. And I'm going to like be thinking about that more now. And they were all like, when is it dropping, bitch? We're going to download it on everything. Holy shit. Someone was like, we're going to make a TikTok dance.
Oh, God.
I was like, okay. Like, they were like, this shit deserves it. I was like, wow, okay. This is giving me a lot of confidence to drop it because I've been sitting on this song for 2 years.
2 years?
Because I've been so nervous.
So when are you going to drop it?
I have to soon now.
You're like, right now.
Yeah, right
now. At the end of this episode.
Hey, Jenna. Push post.
Push post.
No, but I actually sent it to another mixer, and it's one of Joy's friends, and he's just gonna like make it polished and perfect, and then we're gonna release it. But yeah, it was just fucking nuts to actually see people's reactions to my own original shit. That gave me a lot of confidence that I'm like doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And yeah. then I performed Sign of the Times by Harry at the very end.
Just my jeans, but keep talking.
Yeah. I performed Sign of the Times by Harry at the end to close it out. It's a very powerful song, but it's not in my range. It's a little bit lower and higher because he gets really loud. You know, the we don't talk enough. We should. Like, I had to really belt that out, and it's really hard to do that. And it starts off really low, and then it gets really high. So it was like this weird thing. And I was so pissed because when I tried to hit those high notes, my voice cracked. And then I got super in my head about it. But then I was like, stop. It's okay. Like, no one's making fun of you for that. Like, yeah. It happened one time. And I just kind of, instead of like belting it super loud, I kind of toned it back a little bit more so my voice wouldn't crack again. And I was like, whatever. This means a lot to people. So shut the fuck up. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then after that, everyone was super nice and emotional. I saw some girl crying about me closing out with that song. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of went around the room and closed it out. And everyone was just sharing their experience of like how this meant to them. I was getting emo. And then when it was over, I got this like overwhelming sadness because I was like sad that it was over. I was like, fuck, we built this really close community and closeness and friendship, and I'm sad that this can't happen every weekend. Yeah. Like, it was so awesome, and I'll never forget it. And I'm just so happy that the people who attended really believed in me to pull something off like this. And I'm just so proud of the team that helped work behind the scenes to make it possible. Like, everyone just came together, and I could tell that it changed people's lives. And Joy created this Facebook group for everyone that went, and so many people posted these super long paragraphs and posts about like what this actually meant to them. And I just feel like this is only the beginning for Joy Chella, like Joy Chella Nation, baby. Like, it was so
impactful. You need to do another one.
Yeah. And in the future, we want to like do it in person.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. That would be so sick.
Right. Like, rent out this beach house or something and just have a retreat for like 100 people to come, and we could just do that shit all week.
That would be so fun.
So fun. Person. Now that we know that, like, okay, the formula works and people actually got their lives changed, like, this could be something so much bigger. And I'm just feeling blessed and on top of the world, and thank you for just letting me share that.
Of course. No, that's fucking amazing. That's seriously so cool that you figured out just how to use your entire platform and just really bring everyone in and do something like that. Like, that's so cool.
Thanks.
That's
dude.
So awesome.
It took a long time, but Joy really helped me out with that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it. I was scared as fuck to do this, but she was like, Sarah, that's your anxiety. Yeah. Stop it. Trust me. And I was like, okay, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And even Jenna was kind of freaking out. She was like, this is all happening so fast.
It was happening so quickly. And like they had everything together to the point where I was like, I think I used the words like, this just seems too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Like everything is like set and
there goes me, right?
It's like this week and like what's going to go wrong?
Like, yeah, exactly.
I was like, I think I just had that anxiety too, but that's why it was even better that it worked out. And it was like 10 times better than I could have even imagined.
Me too. I wouldn't change anything. I'm just like riding this high. I felt really good today. Like, I woke up today with energy, even though the weather was shitty. I was just like, I'm going to wear some butterflies on my pants.
Yes.
I'm going to wear some flowers on my pants, even though the sun's not out. Like, I'm just going to ride this wave out for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just feel really fucking good. But...
yeah, you got to take advantage of that energy, too, because we know how bad it is when you're in a slump. So, like, what do you even want to do, like, this week now that you have this energy? Like, finish that song, make more videos. Yep. Like, what is your plan right now?
Yeah, I think that first things first, I'm going to clean my room because it is a fucking mess because I had to move everything out of my office into my room. So I'm going to clean my room.
Love
that. Feel good about myself in that department. I'm going to make sure that that song is completely finished. I'm going to figure out how to get a music video going. I'm going to release it.
Yeah, for the love of God.
Yeah, and I'm just going to like make that my focus this week on how can I get this shit done and perfect and polished and ready to go and just feel good about it because I know how people felt about it when I performed it, so I know it'll impact a lot of people, make them feel good. So like, fuck it, whatever. And also, we're all gonna die, so let's just
so
do what
just
we
put
want
it out.
Yeah, exactly. So
great point.
Enough about me. I know that you had a very polarizingly opposite weekend.
I really did. I did not have an incredible weekend like that. I mean, I had a fun weekend. I went out. I went to a bar. It was one of like the only bars or clubs that I'd ever been to out here. And it was the first place I thought of to like go to this weekend. I was like, I wonder if it's open. And it was. So I went out with some of my friends. I did that. That was a lot of fucking fun. It felt good to just be like, okay, I live here and things are open now just because I'm so used to just things not being open.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was just like, wait, that was really fun. So I did that on Saturday. No, I did that on Friday night. So I had a good time then. And then
did you have to wear masks?
No.
Really?
Yeah, like everything is open. And I've been like seeing people's
Jenna's face
posts about it. What?
Well, no, just, no, like
I
it does
can't
make,
believe it.
I'm curious because, yeah, like I see people out and there's no masks anywhere. But like when you go to a restaurant, it's still like, hey, you're going to the bathroom. Please put your mask on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and they're, it's like at the restaurant next to the bar you're talking about. So I don't know. I just don't get it.
No, I mean, like, I don't either. It just seems like every place just makes up their own stuff right now. It's just so strange. You never know where you're going. I mean, because in the Ubers, you still wear masks.
Yeah.
So it's like I had my mask on in the Uber, and then when I got to the place, no one was wearing one. So I was like, okay, this is so – it's just so strange to go back and forth between. So, yeah, I didn't really know what to expect going to this place because I didn't even know it was fucking open until 2 hours before I went.
I didn't even know it was open.
I ran into Zane. Did
I know.
Tell you that? Oh,
yeah, you texted me.
Yeah, literally ran into Zane when I was in that bar, at the bar, trying to get a drink.
Zane and Jazzy.
Yeah, I was with my friend. She was like, let's make guys buy us drinks. I was like, okay. And then we walk up to the bar and Zane's standing there. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
What?
I was like, other people are going out now too. Like, into this place. Like, hey, guys.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, ran into him there. That was
crazy.
A fun night. Didn't last that long, but that was fun. And then the next day, I was just like really tired from going out that night. And I have been wanting to try like edible gummies or something of the sort for a while now for sleep. Because Sydney, when she lived with me, she would always take those to go to bed. And I was like, at some point, I'm going to have to just try it because I know I am missing. There's something in the world that could help me with sleep better, and I haven't found it yet. Like, over the fucking Advil PM shit, you know? Like
the melatonin.
I'm so over that. There has to be something else. So that day, I ordered these, like, chips and then these strawberry gummies. I don't even know. I think the chips were just, like, it was, like, the serving size was
five and you get like kind of high. That was for more of like a daytime thing.
THC potato chips.
They make yes. THC everything now.
What?
Beverages.
Oh, I did not like, know what
soap.
To choose.
Like, you want a shower with THC soap?
A shower.
Swear to God.
You want a THC
like,
shower.
Like, everything. So here's me blind as fuck, like, looking chips? At all these things. And I'm like, what? I'll get a few things. I'll get some chips. I'll get some gummies. We'll just.
That's dope.
We'll figure it out. And I actually had, like, Rory help me out with this because I was like, okay, like, I need assistance. Like, he smokes. So I'm like, you know more than I do. So, like, help me out here tonight.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to take these gummies. Like, just, I don't know, help me through this if something bad happens. And I really didn't think anything was gonna, but it did. So the serving size of the gummies, it says you take 1 to 3 and it takes up to 90 minutes to feel anything. So I took one and I was just watching a movie and nothing was going on for like half hour, 45 minutes. And I was just like, you know, this is such a low dosage. I honestly don't remember what it was, but I just know that I was like, this is low. Like, maybe I'll just take one more.
I already don't like where this is going.
What movie it's going were you so watching?
The Secret Life of Pets.
Okay. Good vibes.
So I then took another one and 2 hours had passed and I didn't feel anything. And it said 90 minutes. And I already know that, like, I am slightly allergic to weed. I have a weird ass tolerance with it. And that's why Rory and I both, like, didn't know what to do. We were like, do you take another one? Is this not even going to happen to you? Because, like, my body just is so fucking weird with it. Something happens every time I smoke or take something. And I was like, I don't know. So,
oh God,
I had the two. Nothing happened well over the 90 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'm down to just take one more if my tolerance is this fucking low. And, like, I'm not even, nothing's even happening. So I took third one. And it was the biggest mistake of my life.
Uh-huh.
I really thought that if something didn't happen in the 90 minutes, nothing was going to happen. Because that's a long time to wait, you think?
Did it all kick in?
I was lying in bed and I was just sitting next to Rory and he was just still making sure nothing was like going on. I was like, I'm good, I'm good. And then all of a sudden, I just started like laughing hysterically.
Yep.
And he looked over at me and was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, nope, not good, not good. And he was like, what? And it felt like I was sitting there watching the movie and I got like punched in the face, like sucker punched in the head. Like everything went black for a second. And then I just stood there and was like, just like manically laughing in the bed. And I was like looking at him.
That made you laugh?
Yes. It
no,
was
that exact same thing happened to me where I forgot I took one and then I just started laughing out of nowhere.
Because you're like,
I was
of course.
Like, oh, yeah, I took an edible like an hour ago, but I was literally driving and I was just like,
oh, God. Like, no. But yeah, so all of a sudden I started manically laughing and it started feeling like I was sinking into the bed. So I like grabbed him and I was like, I got to get up. I got to get up. And I like stood up in the middle of the room and I was just like looking around and I was like, holy shit. It just felt like tunnel vision everywhere. And I'm just so glad that he was down to help me out with this because I don't know what the fuck I would have done if he wasn't there, like genuinely. And he was like, sit down, just like calm down. Like you're fine. Like you literally just have to tell yourself that you're fine and that nothing bad is happening. And I was like, okay, okay. And I just sat back down on the bed and I was like, Rory, like my legs are hurting me so bad. He's like, no, they're not. I'm like, my legs are killing me. And I just kept trying to just distract myself from it because I was just lying in the bed and it felt like my legs were just sinking into the bed like jelly. And it felt like there was so much pressure on them. They felt like jelly. They felt like they were going to explode.
Really?
And
were they like pulsating?
Like, no. It just felt like there was a ton of bricks on them. And he explained something after that I think I don't know if it's true, but we'll get to that. So I was just sitting there and like he was not believing that like I was just not okay because he was like, it's just all in your head. And I was like, totally, totally just trying to just tell myself that and calm down. And every few minutes I'd get up and go to the bathroom, just make sure that I can still walk around because I was not okay. And then I remember at one point he was like, you need to get in the shower or something. Like sometimes when I'm too high, if I shower, it helps. And I was like, okay. So I like took all my clothes off. All of a sudden I'm in the shower and I look at him and I just remember being like, I'm so drunk. And he's like, you're not drunk. I was like, Rory, I'm fucked up. Like, I'm like so drunk. He was like, no, you drank last night. Like, you went out the night before. And I was like, no, are you sure? I feel like I just got back home from the bar right now. I don't know what planet I was on.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, no, I'm drunk right now. Like, I can't believe I just like went out to a bar. And he was like, that was last night. Like, this is a different night.
Oh my God.
Whoa. And him saying that to you while you're high, was that tripping you out even
yeah,
more?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, fuck, this is a different night, huh? And I was like, damn, I feel more drunk now than I was last night. And I was just trying to like
just focus on seeing things. Cause like I kept seeing like black spots everywhere.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh my God, people are not fucking kidding about taking too much edibles. Like I honestly never thought that I would ever experience that because it was such an accident. But I was like, damn, I should have been safe than sorry, obviously. So then after that, the shower did not help at all. And I was just freaking out. Like, I need to go to bed. I need to go to sleep. Like, this isn't working. Cause I took like Indica one. So that's supposed to obviously help you sleep. And then I got back down on the bed. He was like, just breathe, like watch something on your phone to fall asleep. And I'm like, no, I want to go to bed right now. Like, I don't want to fucking watch like TV or TikTok or anything. And he was like, you just need to distract yourself. And I just like could not be convinced. Cause I was like, I was so fine before this. Like, I wasn't even that like worried about sleeping tonight. Like I would have been fine. Like, why did I do this to myself? Like now, whenever I sit on the bed, I feel like I'm just falling into the bed. I'm like, this sucks. And eventually I got to sleep, but it was just like 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours of just feeling like my body's not even my body. What the fuck is up with this? Feeling like something was so wrong with my legs, just barely being able to see things, just nonstop laughing and confusion and just thinking that I was drunk. And then the next day, we were talking about it and I was like, dude, I wasn't fucking kidding. Like that was not fun at all. That wasn't even like if I had calmed down, it would have been fun. Like I was not okay. And he said something about since I'm like really anemic. I mean, I thought I was like better with it now because I take like so many vitamins to like help my blood.
Yeah.
But I do know that sometimes I have a lot of trouble going to sleep because I have like restless legs syndrome. And that's a huge side effect of being anemic and just having an iron deficiency. We're basically, yes, it's really bad. It ruined my life for a long time because I could never get to bed because my legs just like would not stop moving and I would have to just constantly keep moving them. And he said something that like weed will take the pain away and put pressure where there's pain. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he was saying. And he was like, the pain that you're probably used to in your legs every night from like needing to like get them to stop moving and jittering around must have turned into pressure because like my blood flow and circulation and everything. Like I even wear like different socks for when I go on a plane because I have to keep my circulation down there really good. And he was just like, that must have messed with your legs somehow and turned the pain that you're kind of like used to or not don't even acknowledge anymore every night into pressure. And I was like, maybe, because my legs were not okay. And he kept thinking that I was just like in my head. And I was like, no, it was not in my head. I know it wasn't in my head. Like my legs were not fucking okay. Like I was so scared. Like maybe I was in my head. I don't know. But
I think that weed also like exacerbates the different parts of your body that like need attention.
Yeah.
So it's really overwhelming because your legs literally felt like they were.
Yeah. What's weird is that time I was talking about where I started laughing, like you're talking about, I called my friend because I was like, are you feeling high? Like I forgot we took those. And then she said that I kept saying, I can't feel my legs. And like I was saying, but for me, it was more of a numb thing. Like it was like not a pressure or a pain. It was just like numbness.
Yeah, I felt like it was numb, but it was also just so much pressure. So I don't know. It was so, it sucked.
Did you feel like anxiety at all? Like were you having intrusive thoughts or was it literally just a body sensation where you just feel your body?
Definitely a body sensation. I mean, the only, like, I was able to calm myself down every now and then and just be like, okay, this is literally going to end at some point. Like, you're going to be fine. You're going to go to bed. Just chill the fuck out, accept it, and go with it. And I would be able to get over that. But then there'd be times where I'd be sitting there watching the movie just trying to focus. And all of a sudden, I'm like, my legs are just throbbing. Like, they are throbbing.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I mean, I'm obviously like not that educated on this stuff. So if anyone in the comments wants to let me know if I was being dramatic or if like that was tied into me being anemic,
dude.
I don't know.
No, that is such like a, I'm pretty positive that is very common. I remember the first time that I smoked weed, I was laying in Katie's bed.
Here we go.
And I was laying there and I was so fucking high for the first time. And she gave me saltine crackers. And I was like, okay.
I was eating salt and vinegar Pringles.
Yes. I was eating saltine crackers and I swallowed it. And then after I swallowed it, I'm pretty sure it was just my body saying that, like, I need some water because saltine crackers makes your throat dry. But I just remember laying there and my entire throat was numb. It was pulsating. I couldn't feel anything down here. I was like, I can't feel my chest. I can't feel my throat. I can't feel my mouth. I don't know how to speak. Like, I literally can't make words come out of my mouth. And Katie would, like, ask me a question, and I'd be like, And we were, like, watching a show. So I was like, just watch the show, Sarah. You're fine. And I was drinking water, too. And it didn't help. Like, no, it didn't help at all. And I got so freaked out. And then the next day, she's like, how was that? Wasn't that so cool? I was like,
no.
Couldn't feel my body.
Yeah.
Okay. And I continued doing it. And it, like, got better. But I know how that sensation feels when, like, you're super high and you don't feel like you're in your body.
Yeah. And it was so awful.
Awful.
Like, I remember when Sydney would do that in my house. And she'd be like, I'm so high. I can't feel anything. I'm like, that's fun. That's fun for you. Like, that was traumatic for me.
Right?
I hated that.
And the tunnel vision and the black spots, so relatable. That's what put me in the hospital. Remember when I went to the hospital for weed?
Oh, yeah.
I
just
smoked.
I took my friend to the hospital last weekend for weed.
Dude, it's panic attack.
No, it was actually, like, very physical. There's, like, something you can get. It's, like, but, like, throwing up, like, consistently.
Oh, wait, I forgot to mention that. I kept gagging. And I kept, like, sitting up being, like, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. And he was, like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And I literally would, like, choke on throw up. And I was, like, do I need to just go throw all this up right now? Then I was, like, no. You're being way too dramatic. Just, like, sit down. And I was, like, if I fucking throw up from 3 gummies right now, I swear to God. So it was just, like, oh, my God. It was fucking awful. It was such a bad night.
Do you think maybe you should, like, see your doctor about what happened with your legs?
That's why I'm like, I just don't know if that's a normal thing or if, like, I should be probably.
Are you actually allergic or is that, like, a joke?
I think I am actually allergic to an extent because whenever I do smoke weed regularly, like, so many things happen to me that, like, I will break out into a rash. My throat will literally close up. Like, it's so bad. And I remember looking up, like, weed allergy, and I had every single fucking side effect ever. And I was like, this happens every time.
Maybe you should
stay away
from THC.
Yeah, I think I figured that out the hard way.
Try CBD.
Like everyone else.
Try CBD. Try CBD gummies.
Yeah.
That will relax you without getting you high and, like, help you get tired and relaxed. Or I have some, oh my God, bitch, we'll talk after.
Okay.
I have really, really good holistic remedies, like different pills you can take, but they're not like pills that you get over from the doctor. Like, you can order them. They're like supplements that help with relaxation right before you go to sleep. So it helps you go to sleep.
Yeah.
But there's so many other ways that you can do without smoking weed. Cause I'm the same way. I'm like, I wish I could get high. I want to be a cool stoner like I was in high school. And every single time I would have panic attacks and shit. And when you said tunnel vision and black spots, I relate to that so much because that is exactly what sent me into my panic state when I had to go to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack. Because I was having a panic attack for the first time because I couldn't see.
Yeah.
I was, like, looking at my mom and, like, I could only, like, see her face kind of.
No,
and then
same.
It was, like,
every time I blinked,
around.
I felt like I saw something different.
Like, you know, when, like, you think, like, something's just you and then other people talk about their experiences, I'm like, wait, that tunnel vision thing.
Yes.
I remember that happening to me once now, a couple years ago. It was like, I literally couldn't see anything. And I, like, remember, like, looking, I had to move my whole head to, like, look around.
Yes.
I was like, why can't I see anything in my peripherals?
Oh my God, it was awful. And so I remember scary. I would, like, be looking at Rory and I would be like, okay, I know I'm looking at him. Let's blink again. And be like, oh, wait, yeah, that is. Wait. Yeah. Wait.
Yes.
Yes.
And then it would kind of, like, it would be tunnel vision around Rory, and then I'm sure, like, a black spot would come in. And, you're
and then
like,
the
wait.
Secret life of pets, and then back to Rory.
You look over.
talking dog.
Yeah, talking dog. And then you're like, what? And then it's like, you're blind over here. Like, it's.
Then I'm looking at my legs.
And then you're looking at your legs because they're on fire, and you're like, what?
Then
the
all of a sudden
fuck?
I'm in the shower.
Yeah. Like, you just blink, and you have your clothes off.
I'm naked in the shower. Then I think I'm at the bar still.
And
like,
then you blink, and then you see Rory being like, that was last night. Night. And
like,
then you're
no,
like,
it wasn't.
What?
I'm
and then you're like,
up.
Am I crazy?
No, I thought I was insane. I was like freaking him out too. I felt bad. I was like, I'm not okay.
That's so common though.
Yeah.
Like, high freakouts are very common.
Worse than I could have ever imagined.
Especially if you have like a little bit of anxiety. Even like, because my thing is I think that weed exacerbates things that you feel. And since I developed anxiety in my life, it exacerbates my anxiety. to the point where, like, I can't even function. So, like, I feel like if you have any other thing going on, don't take my word for this. Do your research. I'm not a doctor. But, like, I feel like it could just, you know, heighten other parts of yourself. So,
and I think, like, what I fully learned, too, is that it just hits everyone differently. Because with Rory, when he does it, he's just, like, so focused on everything. Like, he gets his life together. It's like if he took an Adderall. That's how he is from, like, smoking. He's like, I can do anything. Like, I'm so calm. He has horrible anxiety. So when he smokes, it calms that. And I'm like, okay, just need to accept that it's different to every person and that my experience with it is valid. I'm not overdramatic. It just is not calming my anxiety. It's not making me want to be productive. I'm seeing black shit everywhere.
Like, literally. I'm seeing just tunnels of everything.
Yeah.
And that's so true. Like, it affects everyone so differently. Like, and everyone has different DNA and
hit
blood.
Hit me differently, but it just didn't. I had a horrible time.
You want so bad to be like, oh, I'll just take THC gummy, that will solve my shit and make me go to bed. No,
made my life fucking horrible.
I would suggest talking to a doctor about it, because me, I had to do that, and they put me on sleep meds.
Yeah,
that I don't take every night, but I take them if I really cannot sleep and I have to be up in the morning and I like have anxiety for whatever reason. So just do what works for you.
Gonna need to do that, because those gummies were definitely not my not my best move. But hey,
I relate to you about the circulation in the legs and feet, because I have to wear diabetes socks.
Really?
These are not diabetes socks.
I think those are. What are you talking about?
I think these are BTS socks.
I think they are.
These are Christelle's sock haul, sock tour.
Great. Merry Christmas. Is that what that says?
Maybe.
Yep. It certainly says Merry Christmas.
I think it's a BTS character. But yeah, I have to wear, like, diabetes socks that apply pressure on the sides of my feet, because, like, my feet will swell up if I don't have pressure on the sides of them.
Yeah, oh my God, same. I remember the first time I ever figured out that I had something wrong with my feet, I was on a plane and I was wearing, like, flip-flops or something. I think I was going to Florida. And I remember I got off the plane and my feet were huge, like, blown up. And I remember taking a picture and then Googling it and being like, feet swelling up after plane. And it was like so normal. And I was like, oh. And then I just remember like stomping around with my big swollen feet. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude.
It's not going to wear my compression socks.
Dude, I'll send you the link to my diabetes socks, even though I don't have diabetes. But they help a lot. Okay. One more thing, then we'll wrap it up because this episode's so long. But I remember I had something wrong with my feet. I love how we're bonding over this.
These feet suck.
These feet suck. I love y'all. You're just trying your best.
Me everywhere, but fuck you.
You're just trying your best.
My feet need to pick it up.
Yeah, right. Pick it up. Yeah. Okay, that relates to what I'm about to say. Junior year, I was on my volleyball team, and I finally was about, it was like summer right before my junior year, and I was about to get on varsity. Like, I could tell that the varsity coach was looking at me, but I had to still prove myself. And we were doing this one drill in the summer where it was like an obstacle course thing. And
you
had to,
plantar fasciitis?
Huh?
Okay. I just wanted to interrupt in case that was it, because it would have been like, no way, me too. Continue.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I just wanted to know if that's where you were going, because I was going to be really excited, but whatever.
But I was doing this obstacle course. I don't know. Maybe. But I was doing this obstacle course, and it was something where you had to like be really light on your feet and just like maybe like a high knees thing or something. And I could not fucking like be light on my feet. Like everything was weighing me down. And I just remember the captain of the varsity team, who was like scouting out the JV players to see who wants to be on the team, she was looking at me and she was like the coolest bitch at my high school. And she could tell that I was the only one struggling so bad. Like everyone else was just like, like so easy. And I was like, oh my God, I literally feel like I'm going to break down. And I just remember her looking at me and she's like, Sarah. And I was like, huh? And she's like, just a little bit lighter on your feet. And then the entire team was like, yeah, Sarah, like all collectively, a little bit lighter. And I'm like, okay, what? I'm trying. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know. And they're like, you got it. Just like
what does
that
even mean?
They're like, just like high knees, just like, you know. And I'm like, what the fuck?
You know.
And I could feel my feet. They were hurting so bad. And I just felt like I was like Bigfoot, like just like stomping. Like there was so much like weight pushing down on me where I could not like lift it up. And I was like, I literally don't know what to do right now. And my feet were pulsating. And then I was like, guys, I have to sit down. And then like the varsity coach is like, oh, well, what the fuck? Like, that's something that we all need to be concerned about, ladies, to like the team. And I was like, fuck, like I'm good enough, but just this drill is really hard.
Everyone's like, this is the easiest one we've done so far.
Everyone was just soaring through it. And then I sat down, I took my shoes off and my socks off, and the sides of my feet right here were, they looked like three golf balls on the sides of my feet, just completely blown out. They were pulsating. They were like purple, just right here on the sides of my feet. If y'all know what that is, let me know, because I went to 5 doctors about it. Oh, they did so many, like, they did an x-ray on my back because they thought that it was, had something to do with like nerve damage. And they didn't find anything correlated to it. They thought it was diabetes. I did so many diabetes tests, not diabetic at all. And I had to quit volleyball because of that. So I never got to make the varsity team.
Damn.
Because I had to quit.
Because of your fucking feet.
Yeah. Because every single time I would jump, it would really swell up on the sides. And I was a hitter. I was an outside hitter. So I would have to like jump and hit the ball over the net.
Damn.
And so I couldn't fucking do that anymore. It was so annoying. So I get you.
Yeah. I ended up having like a lot of foot pain at one point, and I had to go to physical therapy for so long because I ended up having plantar fasciitis, which is basically that? Like there's no arch in your foot. You just have very flat feet. So I have no arch at all. And I figured that out because like I just strained my foot so bad from soccer to the point where like I could not even walk anymore. I remember I was on crutches for a little bit because I just could not work my feet because they were in so much pain. And I had to wear these special shoes and like flip-flops for like with 3 years. Yes, the built-in ones. And I remember just like summer in middle school, I wanted to just be a cute, normal girl so bad. But I had to go out in like my ugly ass, like built-in extra arch-supported Dr. Scholl's shoes. And they were so chunky and ugly.
Dr. Scholl's bitch. I'm familiar.
Only hot-ass bitches know what Dr. Scholl's shoes are.
Bitches with foot problems
are automatically hotter if you had to go through that.
The gels.
Yes, the gels were in all of my shoes. And I remember if I would ever wear like normal shoes one day to school and I would forget to put those inserts in, I'd have a horrible day. Horrible day. Soccer practice because I fucked myself over by not wearing my doctor's shoes.
Horrible day, dude. And you would see all of the cute bitches in the high top Converse.
And I'd be like, why can't I just be like you? Why can't I have your
why
feet?
Why can't I be cool? Why can't I have normal feet? What the fuck, God? God, what did I do?
Why did I deserve this?
Why did I? Oh, but honestly, I relate, and I'm so sorry that you had that experience being okay. High. Did that teach you anything?
Yeah, to throw the gummies out.
Just to like avoid it.
I will give them to you.
Give them to Jenna.
I don't ever want to take them again. And it just reinforced the fact that I should just call my doctor.
Just set up an appointment. I'll help you.
I just wanted to be a normal bitch that could just like take an edible for bed. I don't know. That ain't me.
It's not you, and that's okay.
That's okay. That doesn't figure out who I am.
That doesn't make you any less cool.
I guess.
That makes you even more cool for not having to feel like you have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just take Ambien.
Okay, cool. I'm kidding. And next I'll try Xanax.
And next Xanax and then math.
So if you guys would like that'll to join definitely. This journey on me, subscribe.
We'll hit up Bryan Cranston for the meth recipe. Woo!
Oh, all God.
All right,
oh,
y'all.
Wow. Full circle,
thank
baby.
Thank you guys for watching. We love ya. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And I love that we had two opposite weekends, but I think
I know
that
you had a spiritual experience and I had fucking hell on earth.
While I'm over in my office just like sobbing and like crying, you're like, where the fuck am I? Like,
why is the Secret Life of Pets on? Yes. Are my legs on me?
Are my legs on? Oh my God. Love y'all. Thanks for watching. Cheers, brother. You can watch us every single Friday on audio, on every single streaming platform, and then video versions on YouTube on Sundays.
Woo!
Love y'all.
Gonna go to the foot doctor.
Right now. I'm gonna go read my Bryan Cranston book.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.